Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program this week four exciting, talented, diverse personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. And those four talents are seated on my right, that ever popular, ever green player of this game, Paul Merton, and seated beside him, that veteran and ever resourceful player of this game, Clement Freud, and seated on my left, that engaging and sometimes extravagant player of this game, Graham Norton, and seated beside him, someone who's never played the game before, but a very highly valued comedian, that is Chris Addison. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I've given them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Charlotte Davis, who's going to help me with the score, blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Mermaid Theatre at Puddle Dock on the banks of the Thames in that great metropolis of London. And we have a great metropolitan audience in front of us, waiting, eager for us to start. Paul, start the show going with a subject here, the streets of London. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The streets of London have changed over the years. If we go back to the 19th century, 1886, you can see that somewhere like Drury Lane, for example, which is now a quite clean thoroughfare, was a bawdy place full of drunks and ne'er-do-wells and third-rate actors. What are you looking at me like that for, Nicholas? He was a wonderful individual in his time, Mr. Parsons. He used to walk down the streets.
Clement Freud challenge.
Two Eustaces.
Yes, there were two Eustaces, yes.
Yes.
So, Clement, a correct challenge to you, a point for that. You take over the subject, you have 37 seconds available. The streets of London starting now.
I came here via New Cavendish Street, then Oxford Street, Regent Street.
Chris Addison challenge.
Repetition of street.
There were too many streets. Yeah, but you said Oxford Street and Regent Street. You didn't say streets.
You're being a bit pedantic.
No, we're not.
To be absolutely fair, I was being a bit pedantic.
No, you weren't. No, because we've had challenges on plurals and singulars before.
I'm thrilled to hear that Clement's doing the knowledge, though.
Chris, welcome to the show, and you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject of the streets of London. There are 30 seconds, and you start now.
The streets of London are not, in fact, paved with gold, but with chewing gum and paving...
Graham challenged.
Badly, though. Horrible. I sensed a hesitation, but now I feel cruel and horrible. But
in your defence, you the mean... word does often stand as a hesitation. And I didn't repeat the word
No, but you did catch your breath and pause, and Graham was a bit sharp there, but he came in with 24 seconds to go. A point to you, Graham, the streets of London with you starting now.
The streets of London seem to be full of groups of Italian students who think the word exit means...
Paul challenge.
No, you're thinking of Rome.
Paul, we give you a bonus point for that. Graham, you were interrupted, so you get a point for being interrupted. Keep the subject, the streets of London, 20 seconds, starting now.
God protect me in central London from the amateur shopper. Saturday attracts them. I say, they built shopping malls for you. Go there. This is not your place. I'm in a hurry. There's no time to look at the moving lights. I have money to spend, and quickly, I say that often to my...
Graham, if you speak to them like that, I'm sure they run a mile. I've never heard you so violently...
It's the new me.
It's the new me. Anyway, whoever in this game is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was, of course, Graham Norton, so he's got a strong lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? And the subject is monkey business. Tell us something about monkey business in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
So the nun said to the taxi driver, you really do not have to feel guilty because actually I am called Trevor and I'm going to a fancy dress party. Nothing that has happened need concern.
Poor challenged.
I think I've missed the beginning of this. Is there not some sort of pricey to take us up to date into what what's going on?
I wanted to get in the last round, actually.
I don't know what you were leading to at all, because you hadn't got monkey business into it anywhere. There were no monkeys in the cab, and
call that monkey business.
Well, it depends. I call it sexual harassment, actually.
But you're terribly old-fashioned.
You have a point.
Yes. Yeah, but I can't do anything with my points. You can. So,
is that age?
We've noticed.
All right, give Clement a bonus point for what he said just then. But, Paul, let's have your challenge.
Oh, well, it's deviation.
Deviation, yes. A point to you for that. A correct challenge. Monkey Business, 44 seconds, starting now.
There's a Marx Brothers film called Monkey Business that was released in the 1930s. And if you listen very carefully, in the opening sequence, the four brothers... I've said that before, haven't I?
Yes. Chris, your challenge.
Yeah, repetition of brothers.
Brothers, yes. Well, you've gone in again, Chris. And you've got 35 seconds on this occasion. The subject's Monkey Business, starting now.
Monkey Business is a section to be found towards the back of the Daily Simian, a newspaper designed, written by and for monkeys. Monkey Business itself is a larger part of that august journal than you might imagine, although it very rarely goes to print, as around about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They like a tea party, and those things can get out of hand, as you'll be doubtless aware. Monkeys, in fact, are rather good at business, some of their particular endeavours in the economic...
Clement Freud challenge.
He said monkeys.
Yes, you did repeat monkeys.
Hoist by my own baton.
That's right. You got him because you got him on the plural and the word on the card is singular. Monkeys, he did repeat. And Clement, you've got him. There's 7 seconds to go on Monkey Business, starting now.
It was one of my very favourite Marx Brothers film, Monkey Business.
Paul Chance.
Well, strictly speaking, it should be Marx Brothers Films, not Marx Brothers. One of my favourite Marx Brothers films. It's using the singular, and the plural would really be the entirely accurate thing to do. So it's deviation from the English language.
Deviation from English as we understand it. Yes, all right, Paul. That is correct, so we have to give it to you with 2 seconds to go. Oh, yes. Monkey Business, starting now.
Catherine Grant and Catherine Hepburn.
Oh.
Is that not a subject on the card?
No, you just threw it back to him, didn't you? Clement, you challenged first, and you got in with half a second to go. On Monkey Business, starting now.
Zippo.
Oh! Paul, you challenged before...
Well, there was a bit of a hesitation.
Oh, rubbish! Oh, he had it when the whistle went, so Clement Freud has the bonus point for speaking as the whistle went. And what's the situation at the end of that round? Well, Clement has leapt forward. He's one ahead of Graham Norton, and two ahead of Paul Merton, and three ahead of Chris Addison. That's the situation. Chris Addison, will you take the next round? The subject is a false economy. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The economy of Bulgaria is a false economy on the grounds that that place does not, in fact, exist. Like...
Paul Challenge.
I've just bought a house there. What have I done?
So what is your challenge when the rules are just a minute?
Deviation. I've just bought a house there. It exists as a place, Bulgaria.
Bulgaria does exist.
No. Bulgaria.
Oh, Bulgaria.
Yes.
I didn't get the V, I'm sorry. Did you?
Well, it was there, I promise you.
Have you not heard their sort of national anthem, Piss Off? Bulgaria.
Bulgaria is deviation.
Yeah.
That sounds like the Wombles, doesn't it? The Wombles lived in Bulgaria,
no,
didn't they?
No, you're thinking of Uncle Bulgaria. who does have a beat. However, the film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang ends in Bulgaria.
And that was a dream sequence.
Yes. Benefit of the doubt to you, Chris. You keep the subject, you get a point for that. And,
it was.
And work on this, Chris, because the new boys on the block always get the sympathy of the audience. Right. 54 seconds, a false economy starting now.
The Bulgarian economy runs largely on selling imaginary houses to comedians.
Paul, you challenged.
I visited the property.
That was another dream sequence.
Call estate agents, you can't trust them, can you?
Right, a bonus point to Paul because they enjoy the interruption. But, Chris, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. You keep the subject, a false economy. 48 seconds starting now.
As with many entirely imaginary countries, Bulgaria runs...
Clement Challenge.
We've had Bulgaria.
We've had Bulgaria, and it's not on the card.
Yeah, Chris.
It was singular, though. I didn't say vulgarious.
No, you didn't. You said vulgaria. I was listening.
Well,
I have to. My job. Right.
He doesn't want to, you understand.
Clement, a point to you. 44 seconds available. A false economy starting now.
False economies tend to happen when chancellors move out of number 11 into 13 Downing Street. I can't tell you how false economies become. Not just is the economical situation of a country wholly down the drain and up the creek, but there's no one living next door to the Prime Minister in a house which he loves to have.
Chris challenged.
Deviation from anything relevant.
I think he established to begin with this a false economy when the Chancellor moves into the other property.
Yeah. You're not that new anymore.
Clement, the benefit of the doubt to you, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. 18 seconds available. A false economy starting now.
There's no way that Romania or Bulgaria can be false economically because they are...
Paul Challenge.
Slight hesitation.
Yes, definite hesitation.
I was speaking slowly.
Yes, in a hesitant fashion. Which was my first clue that I might press the buzzer.
So, Paul, a correct challenge. 11 seconds. You tell us something about a false economy starting now.
My first pair of false teeth were an absolute disaster. I shouldn't have gone to Bob Martin's. I should have gone to a dentist.
Oh, Graham Challenge. So, Graham.
It was a sort of hesitation, a repetition of should.
We don't, you only need one. I can't give you 2 points.
Sorry.
Should
is... I wasn't sure about the repetition bit, so I thought I'd shove in that hesitation.
Well, I can assure you the repetition was there. A repetition of should. A false economy is with you, Graham. 3 seconds only to go, starting now.
A false economy is when you think you're saving money, but in fact you've spent more than you...
So Graham Norton then speaking as the whistle Wayne gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. They're just ahead of Paul Merton and Chris Addison in that order. And Graham, we'd like you to take the next round. I mean, start the next round. The subject is, well, I can't believe this, when I was in prison. Who thinks of these subjects? When I was in prison, Graham, 60 seconds, starting now.
When I was in prison, everyone had lovely nicknames. There was Billy the Bulldog, because he walked on all fours and growled. Lenny Scissorlegs, because his limbs were sharp and cut...
Chris Challenge.
Repetition of because.
A correct challenge, Chris. You have the subject, you have 50 seconds. When I was in prison, starting now.
When I was in prison, I was struck by two things. One was a metal pail being used for slops by Big Danny, my cellmate. And the other was how angry everybody was. I think this was largely because they were all made to wear the same clothes. Uniforms, if you will, and weren't even allowed to vote on them before they had to put them on.
Clement, you've challenged.
I'd just like to agree with whatever challenge is about to be made.
I think you're right. Yes, yes, all right, Clement. Hesitation, collapse of start party, as they say. Clement, you have the subject. You have 32 seconds. When I was in prison, starting now.
If I were to say that I had been in prison, it would be a lie and anybody could.
And Clement, this. You've challenged.
I buzzed myself.
Yes. So what is your challenge?
For deviation from the truth.
Well, that is a correct challenge, so I suppose I have to give you a point for a correct challenge and congratulate you on listening so well and say please don't make a habit of this because it could ruin the whole show. And so you keep the subject, you have 25 seconds and you've still got When I Was in Prison starting now.
I would have shared a cell.
Chris Challenge.
Deviation from the rules.
No, he wasn't deviating from the rules. There's nothing in the rules that says you can't buzz yourself. Chris, I'll tell you what, you haven't played before. We won't charge any points on that. Clement, you
must... Oh, I'd like a point.
It's a two-for-one offer.
What's that?
I was interrupted.
He was interrupted.
All right.
he was interrupted. Yeah. If Clement gets a point when he interrupts himself, yeah, then I don't see why he shouldn't get a point when somebody else interrupts him.
You're quite right.
I am quite right.
You're quite right, yeah. And I'm wrong to deny him.
Yeah.
Clement, you have another point. You have 24 seconds. When I was in prison, starting now.
When I was in prison...
Graham Challenge.
I just wanted to have another point.
All right, a point to you, because they enjoyed the interruption.
Yes!
A point to Clement, because he was interrupted. There are still 23 seconds available. When I was in prison, not when I was in prison, but that's the subject.
Oh, yes, you want everybody to talk about when they were in prison, but no, we can't talk about you, can we? Thanks to the injunction.
Yeah. Oh, my expenses are too sordid to go into, right? When I was in prison as a subject, with you, Clement, and there are 23 seconds starting now.
A friend of mine who said to me when I was in prison complained bitterly about the uniform. The trousers didn't fit, the shirt was loose, and his cellmate was aggressive. to put it...
Paul, you challenge.
A bit of hesitation.
Yeah. Definite hesitation. Mm. Almost a full
didn't
stop.
Didn't want the subject.
No, he didn't want the subject. That's why he interrupted himself. He was hoping the challenge would be given to somebody else.
No. You've done very well with it, though, Clement. You've really leapt forward on that one. But, Paul, you've got in with a correct challenge and 10 seconds available when I was in prison starting now.
When I was in prison, it was part of my job working with the civil service. I used to visit Wandsworth Prison every week and I would see prisoners and discuss with them opportunities in training for different jobs.
So when Clement Freud was in prison, it helped him to move forward rapidly and he's now in a very definite lead ahead of Graham Norton. And Paul, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject, talking about prisons, it's rather apt. 12 Angry Men. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
It was a superb play, and it was directed by Sidney Lumet for the cinema. And those people who are fans of Henry Fonda will probably recognise it as one of his...
Graham Norton challenge.
For some reason, I thought I heard the word Henry twice, but it was Sidney. And, and somewhere in the back of my head, I was thinking he was talking about a play, but it's a film.
Yes. 52 seconds, 12 Angry Men, with you, Paul, starting now.
At the Edinburgh Fringe Festival a few years ago, several comedians mounted their own version of 12 Angry Men. Steve Frost, Andy Smart, Dave Johns, they were some of the people that appeared in it. And it was a very good production, because an ensemble cast under a good director will create a magnificent piece of theatre, because we always find...
Clement, challenge?
Because...
Twice. Yes, it was because, yes, right. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Clement, you have... 36 seconds, 12 Angry Men, starting now.
12 Angry Men is what Chelsea Football Club now has. Not just Mr. Mourinho, but people from Bulgaria, Romania, Liberia, the Ivory Coast and Togo make up Abramovich's 12 Angry Men. And goodness they are. They fight for the referee, they insult the...
Paul, challenge.
Well, deviation, they don't fight for the referee as if he's some prize to be decided after a bare-knuckle contest.
Is it like throwing the bouquet at the end of a wedding?
No, they don't fight for the referee, either defending him
or... I wasn't listening, I'm sorry. No.
Well, you're in the majority there.
So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have 13 seconds. 12 Angry Men starting now.
If you look at the third row in this theatre, you will see along the line 12 angry men. Their names are Barry, Dominic, Tom, William, George, Billy, Sebastian, and who can forget right at the very end, Mr. Peter, sitting right there. Ah.
Oh, Paul Martin then speaking as the whistle away and gained that extra point, and with the others in the round he's moved forward. He's now equal with Clement Freud in the lead. They're just ahead of Graham Norton and Chris Addison in that order. And then whether you noticed, Paul, when you were pointing to people in the audience and going out those male names, two women stood up. I don't know whether that's a bit of transvesticism or whether it was recently...
I do apologise to the ladies who Nicholas can't tell whether they're ladies or transvestites. Perhaps you'd like to consult your hairdressers when you get back, I don't know.
So we move on. And Graham, we'll begin with you. The subject is, in the year 2525. It's rather repetitious, but would you talk on the subject, starting now?
In the year 2525, the game of Just a Minute might be quite difficult to play because the actual date will contain a repetition. You might be challenged. And then Nicholas, or a brain attached to a computer, will have to say...
Paul, challenge.
There's going to be a promotion. A brain attached to a computer.
So what is your challenge?
We're going digital.
Right, a bonus point to Paul because we enjoyed the challenge, but Graham was interrupted, so he keeps the subject and a point, of course, in the year 2525, Graham, starting now.
In the year 2525, there will be many mysteries, one of which will be, how is Kim Cattrall still 40? I don't know. She's been that age since 1962. I believe she watches in some sort of strange ether and pickle juice. I also
Paul, challenge.
A hesitation.
I think there was a hesitation then, yes. Sir Paul, you have the subject. You have another point. 25 seconds in the year 2525, starting now.
Well, it's unusual to be speaking about the song in the year 2525 with initially 25 seconds to go because, of course, that time is now running down. It was a very popular record in the 1960s, and I know...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of 19.
19, see? In the 1960s. Ooh. So, Clement, you've gone in with 13 seconds on in the year 2525, starting now.
The year 2525 was 14 years after the end of the Great War, and many people remember it with...
Chris Challenge.
That's not true. Deviation from history.
On the basis that the First World War was the Great War.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's exactly why, Nicholas.
That's not the war Clement's talking about.
And it's not the war he's talking about, but in the history books, it's the First World War is often referred to as the Great War.
Yes, it is.
No,
yeah.
It is.
Greatest war. Mm-hmm. The what greatest is... war. The greatest war.
No, you said the
war.
Great War.
The latest war.
But that's...
Well, that...
Are you allowed to edit what you've just said?
Yeah.
Because the implications for the future of the game are horrendous. Look,
Chris is...
It's like Hansard. You can go...
Chris is sitting
go
further
up to
away.
The office and say, I wish I'd said that.
Yeah. Chris is sitting further from you than I am, and he thought you said the Great War, so I think I have to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Well, goes around, comes around.
Yes, exactly. And you have 5 seconds to tell us something about in the year 2525, starting now.
In the year 2525, I will be 554 years old. And if I am...
Clement Challenge.
He won't be.
What's your challenge?
Deviation from the truth.
Prove it.
Prove it.
I'm on a very strict regime, you know.
You can't be 500 years old in 5,000 years' time.
I don't think you can, but actually, as there's only half a second to go...
But then I got CSE grade 4 maths.
It's about 400-something years.
Listen, I made my decision. There's only half... Listen, shut up for a minute.
197...
Chris!
Plus 534. 4 plus 1 is 5.
Chris, if
you... Oh, no, you're right.
There's only half a second to go. Well, so we give you, first of all, a point for being interrupted.
Right.
You gained it legitimacy.
Super.
A point for being interrupted, which you didn't deserve, but I'm going to give you another benefit of the doubt.
Wonderful.
And also another point for holding up the show. And and half a second on the in the year 2525, starting now.
In the year 25...
So, Chris Anderson, speaking then, as the whistle went and gained the other extra points because the chairman helped him, move forward rapidly as we move into the final round. So we move on to Chris Anderson. The subject, Chris, is body language. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Body language like...
Oh, it's a tough game.
Now, can I cash in my benefit of the doubt?
You can have a bonus point for that last remark. Because it was very good. But if you kept going, I might have given it to you, but I can't.
Okay, so, well, let's give me another go and see how I do.
Try again. Right. Graham, you challenge first. 58 seconds. Body language starting now.
Body language is a difficult thing to talk about on the radio. For instance, you here can see me do that, but at home, nothing. I don't know if this counts as repetition, but there you go. I didn't know. I'm still talking. Yes, I am.
No,
you've
been challenged.
How did I get challenged?
You've been challenged. You didn't hear the buzzer because the audience were laughing so much at your gestures, which I can tell our listeners were quite obscene. So it's a good thing it's radio, isn't it? Right. Chris, what was your challenge?
Repetition of...
We're working in the realms of radio and words, not in gestures and mime.
He started it.
I know. I think you should get another bonus point for that, but I can't give it to you because it would be against the whole principle of sound radio, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we would like some bonus points as well.
Listeners, I must explain, they're all making this obscene gesture now. And they think obscene gestures should get bonus points. So I have no alternative.
But listeners around the world won't be happy.
They'll be writing in saying, what was the gesture? I cannot reveal it. It'll be the secret of just a minute.
Are we in the lead yet?
So what I shall do is give a bonus point to all of them except Graham Norton, who keeps...
He gets my idea!
Graham, you get a point for being interrupted.
Loving it.
And 42 seconds with you, Graham.
Okay, fair.
Body language starting now.
Body language is a rare, exotic form of language that you see across a crowded room, and somebody walks towards you, and then I don't know.
Paul, grinding to a halt, really. Yes,
yes. So we call it hesitation. Paul, you have body language now, and you have 31 seconds starting now.
Back in the 1960s, Desmond Morris produced a book called The Naked Ape, and in that he postulated the theory that we are, of course, descended from the animals, but we have a great deal in common with them. If you see a pretty man walking through a bar and he catches your eye and there's a glint of light in his pupil and you think to yourself, I don't care, I'm going into that car park. I'm going to look and I'm saying to him, take me by the hand and lead me through the streets of London. I'll show you something that'll make a change of mind.
And the final situation is Chris Anderson finished magnificently in fourth place. But only 1 point behind Clement Freud, only 2 points behind Graham Norton, and only 3 points behind Paul Merton, who we say, Paul, this week, you are our winner.
Thank you.
Thank you. A very fair contest with equal contributions from all of them. So it only means to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Chris Anderson, Graham Norton and Clement Freud. I thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score and with her whistle. And also we are indebted to Tolusha Gilani, who has produced the show. And we're also indebted to Ian Messiter, who created the show. And we're also indebted to this audience here at the Mermaid Theatre and Puddle Dock in London, who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Just...
And you can hear more rule-breaking on Just a Minute at the same time next week, when Nicholas Parsons is joined by Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Greg Proops and Chris Neal.